Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, we're going to do something just a little different. Usually we're here talking about trip reports, but this is going to be more along the diversions line of the Destinations and Diversions show. We'll be talking with Sean, Alan, and Keith of the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast, which will be joining Diz Dads Radio on March 15th. You can find Diz Dads Radio at radio.dizdads.com. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Well, you're welcome. This is the first time I think I've had a group of three people on a call here on a dad show, but we wanted to give our listeners a chance to get to know you guys a little bit better and maybe get to know a little more about your show. I have here with me Alan Mize, Sean Duffy, and Keith Brown, the co-hosts of the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast, and we're just going to kind of see what we can do to introduce the Diz Dads Club to Enchanted Tiki Talk, since they're going to be joining us soon on the Diz Dads radio stream. So, guys, why don't you give me a little background? First of all, how did you guys connect up to decide to do a podcast together?
I think we connected up through Twitter originally. I think we were all friends on Twitter and enjoyed talking Disney with each other. And to be honest, I'm not sure how the podcast came about. I was the third one brought in. So Sean and Keith, they both came to me and said, "Hey, we want to do a show. Are you in?" And I said, "Well, okay." And that was kind of where it came from. Maybe they can give you a little more background on how the show came about.
All right. So Sean or Keith, which one of you guys got the ball rolling?
I guess that would have been me. I guess I asked you in August, September, around that time frame. And I just because I had been talking to Keith, and I said, "Hey, you interested in, just starting a Disney-based podcast?" And, he got back to me and says, "Yeah, I'm certainly definitely interested." And he goes, "How would you think about asking Alan to come on board?" And I said, "Yeah, that sounds like, it's a good idea. Three people, there's a little bit more conversation." So, it was up to Keith to ask him, because Keith was a little more friendlier with Alan than I was still friendly with Alan, but I think they had spoken a little bit more, a little more often and a longer period of time. I think I was only talking to Alan for, 4 or 5 months before that. So that's sure. Basically how it started.
Okay. All right. So the three you kind of, found common interest on Twitter. I have to ask, have you all ever met in person?
Alan and I actually met February at Disney World. This was just a scheduling thing. It worked out.
Okay.
And so we're still trying get us all scheduled in the same spot at the same time. But it was cool to just meet Alan and share a Dole Whip float and a citrus swirl and have some laughs. So,
and let's just get this straight. I was never officially invited to the meetup.
Well, so this
it was a coincidence. Right. It really worked out. It was never intended. It was never the goal. We just kind of, our trips overlapped. His last day was my first day.
Okay.
So it just kind of happened that way.
Well, now see, already you're fitting right in with the community, because there's something of a Diz Dads Club, tradition of, taunting those who are not able to join us at Walt Disney World with, various Facebook and Twitter photos of our
you know, Dole Whip, citrus swirl, pork shank, name your poison.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, I sent like an invitation to Sean, but I there was a snowstorm. I guess it might have been, you
know, right,
lost in the blizzard or something. I don't know what happened there, but I sent one. I promise.
Uh huh. That's all right. It's not that big a deal, you know. It would have been chaos if I've gotten there anywhere. I would have been like, "All right, we got to go on this now." And then Keith would have been like, "Well, I gotta get my my bus ride back on Magical Express." Oh, you'll get another one. You get this. There's plenty of them. Let's just go.
Yeah. And I'm stranded there for. My bags are gone and everything's gone.
That's all right. You get new bags.
Yeah. Tell my wife that.
Well, it sounds like you guys definitely have the camaraderie piece of co-hosting a show down pat.
It took a couple episodes, but yeah. You know, it worked. You know, it just happens. You know, it's a good thing.
Sure, sure. So, tell me a little bit about how kind of the focus for your show came about. You've done some really interesting celebrity interview pieces that maybe kind of set your show apart a little bit.
I don't know if we originally, when we first started, I don't think we were trying to find some sort of focus, and we had a hard time trying to decide what our show was going to be exactly. So, you know, that was the debate before we had gotten together. Alan was going to Disney World, so we were going to talk once he got back to try to get a better idea. But it was a couple weeks. We spent a couple weeks trying to figure out what the whole goal of the show was, and it snowballed since that point.
I'm still not sure we know what our theme is, aside from a mutual love for Walt Disney World. And for the record, I want to put this out there. When I got back from Disney World, what I thought was going to happen was the three of us were going to get together on Skype, and we were going to bounce some ideas off of each other. And before I know it, that was episode one of the show.
That's true. That is true.
I was not anticipating having a show out yet. I thought we were just going to talk about it. But you know what? It's been a fun ride, so I don't regret that. But I still don't know that we know exactly what our goal is, other than just having fun and talking about something that we all enjoy.
Yeah, we had one topic. I believe we had one topic, and we had one interview lined up. And the first topic that we had was the $40 a day segment that we do, which is taken from the old Rachel Ray show that was on the Travel Channel.
Right.
And that was our idea. That was like the one thing that we had that we knew we were going to go with, and we're going to use it every so often. And then, you know, Keith, he's the one who grabbed the first interview, so he can tell you about that.
I had some contact with Bill Farmer on Twitter, and he had passed me over to his assistant, and I tried for print interview for my website, and it just kind of happened. She had returned my email right as our show was kind of like taking form, and I figured, well, since he is, you know, a voice actor and a legend, it would suit him and us if it, you know, was like a voice interview for our show. And it's just, it kind of, I worked out, it was kind of like fate, and the interview was amazing. He did, you know, all of his like voices, and afterwards, all of us were just like in shock, and I think we're all like still like starstruck from it.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where the, you know, celebrity interview piece came from, and the original show topic. Talk us through your process a little bit. How do you guys come up with new topics? Something we always are challenged with, you know, Diz Dad's podcast. Now that we're 100 plus episodes in, there's always that challenge of what the next topic is, and it started early, so. You know, yeah. where is it coming with you guys?
It's a lot easier when we're 18 episodes in compared to 100 plus. You've been there, done that. It's all new to us. So.
Yeah, it's usually at the end of the episode that we'll record, we'll try to gather some thoughts for our next episode and, see what comes of it. And then we'll message each other for the next couple of days to iron at us at the topic we're definitely going to talk about. That's usually how it works, unless somebody comes up with another idea. But we actually have a list of things that we do want to discuss. So sometimes we'll just pull something off of that list.
All right. Yeah, it's always good to have a brainstorm list you can go back to, because I know I sometimes go back to our first one of those lists just because things that, maybe we even did a twist on, you can look and see and say, ooh, there's another angle we can do on that same topic.
Right. Well, look at our 40 Disney Dollar Day segment. This past episode 18, we did Downtown Disney. The beauty of it is now we're going to be able to revisit it again come next year when Disney Springs is completed. So we get another episode out of it. So that's a good thing.
There you go. Well, and it's Walt Disney World. There's always something new. Something's always changing. Right. And so you can always revisit those kinds of topics.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, talk to me a little bit more about process. What did you guys do in terms of, do you have a release schedule that you set up and all that, or is it just kind of a more free form? How did you decide really how to do that?
In the beginning, it was based around me. I worked two jobs, so my recording schedule, it was, we record sometimes on a Sunday, sometimes on like a Tuesday. It was depending on when I could be available. So at first it was that way, but now we've kind of settled into basically every Sunday night we record and the show drops on Monday. And then, that it's been more consistent that way, which is good for us because it allows the listeners and the fans to know exactly when a show is going to come from us.
Well, kudos to you guys for turning shows around on a weekly basis that quickly. I try and give myself a little more time. I'm not that good.
That's all Sean.
That's all Sean.
So, Sean, you're the editor?
Yeah, the editor-in-chief, producer. Yeah, I do everything, which is, it's good and it's bad. It's, it's fun. The weird thing was, it's the first time when we actually recorded it and I had to listen to myself and the whole conversation over again. So it's a little strange at that point, one, hearing your voice over again, and then listening to your conversation that you just had the night before. You're like, oh, this is really, really odd.
Yes, it is.
It's just, but you do get used to it. It becomes easier. And then there's points where you'll remember a point in the conversation where, all right, I can edit this point out, or I could change this here if I really need to, if some kind of noise came on. Sometimes I'll keep notes along those lines. And, we also do background music, so I try to keep on the topic of what we're discussing with our background audio as well. Yeah, that takes a lot of time, especially when you're talking multiple topics. And I like to try to keep it on topic. I can't always do that. Just because it's just so time consuming, but a lot of my time is just taken up by that. And it's not easy.
Yeah. So, let's talk technical for just a minute. You said you guys, meet by Skype to record. Yep. Same thing that we use right now. What do you do to edit?
I use a program called Audacity for PC.
Okay.
And it's working really well for me. It's pretty easy. I can back up files pretty quickly. I can compress them, because when you're creating the podcast and stuff, usually the file's around 900 meg, and then you can compress it down to about 40 meg. So I can easily send it to my Dropbox and edit it at home or edit it at work. So that makes it easy. But I have our stock audio that we use for certain things, whether it be an introduction or closing for music. So it makes it a lot easier. So I have my stock thing that I work from there. So I throw the new podcast in there, edit it, and I have the opening. I just fit it where it needs to be fit in, so that saves a lot of time, so I don't have to add it every single time. So that's a nice feature for it. I'm always looking for ways to speed up the process, but I'm pretty familiar with Audacity and I like it. I know there's other things out there, but it was free and it works for me, so I can't complain.
You always got to like free.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you distribute?
Currently we're using Podbean. So we, you know, usually Monday mornings, late morning, I'll throw it up onto Podbean. And, you know, we're listed in iTunes, we're listed in Stitcher, we're listed in, I think it's TuneIn or TuneMeIn, mm-hmm. BlackBerry, the Microsoft Zune Marketplace. So that's how we do it. And we're on Twitter all the time, you know, at least there's always somebody on Twitter,
right.
You know, for the most part, who can tweet out the show. And we try to be very involved on Twitter because it's a lot more fun that way. It's nice hearing people say, "Oh, I listened to this and I really enjoyed it." So, you know, that's our whole distribution. We have a Facebook site as well, but most of the activity is definitely on Twitter.
Sure. So I'm curious, do you guys each have a favorite show you've done so far?
That's a hard question.
Interview or non-interview?
Yeah.
Well, that's the question. I mean, you know, I assume that everybody has their own favorites. You know, it's possible there's one show that was everybody's, but I was just curious as to whether you had, you know, different shows that stood out to you.
Well, all of our interviews have been special, because, you know, without our show and our fans, we, you know, would never be able to, you know, speak with, you know, Rolly and Sam Brown, and that's amazing. But it's really fun to have our listeners on too, to interact with us, and it's hard to pick a favorite. But, you know, each of them are special, you know, in its own way. That's a very PC answer, I know, but.
Diplomatic, we'll call it.
Yeah.
I think for me, you know, ignoring all the celebrity interviews, because like he said, they're all great in their own way. You know, Bill Farmer was amazing, and listening to him just on a dime go from being Bill Farmer to Goofy to Maxwell Smart and all the things that he did, that's amazing. And Samantha Brown was fantastic, and Rolly Crump is amazing. So ignoring those, I think I have probably two favorites. My favorite overall was the Bucket List episode, which was episode 5. We had a friend on of the show, and I enjoyed that episode. I thought it was fun talking about, you know, your bucket list item, your Disney bucket list items was a lot of fun. And then the other favorite is more of a sentimental favorite. I think that was episode 4. And I think we all agree that that was kind of the first show where we all really started feeling comfortable. We were sweet. Episodes 1 through 3, we were kind of working out the details, working out the give and take between the three of us. And I think episode 4 was really when it clicked for us, at least as far as in my opinion. So that's a sentimental favorite. Just because it's the first one that we, you know, kind of gelled, I think.
Yeah, that feeling is a good feeling when you finally kind of feel like you've hit your stride a bit.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's the first one. You're feeling everything out, and you're like, oh, I don't know if it's going to work this way. When should I talk? When shouldn't I talk? But you still get to that now. We still get dead air at some point just because we don't want to over talk each other. But that happens, and sometimes one person one night is a little more talkative than the other person. So, you know, you got to work that out, and it works itself out in the end.
Well, sure, because that's what editing is for.
Exactly. And I'm the editor, so I make it it's my art. So, you know, I can't do anything else. I can't draw. I can't really sing. I can't write music. But you know, I edit it, so that's my art right there. But as far as my favorite episode is, it's. I personally think episode 3 we did what would we do to make Hollywood Studios more scary. And I think that's probably one of my favorites because my imagination took over, and I think that was like I was like the crazy one on that episode, between having a gigantic beaker spit out tiki ooze, and, you know, we were having people say, you know, hashtag tiki ooze, and it was a lot of fun. That's really, I think episode 3 is really when people started to listen and get an idea of what we were and where we were going with the show.
I still roll my eyes at that episode.
That's a good episode.
I admit it. I still roll my eyes at that episode. Every time someone brings up tiki ooze, I just... Is this going to... Please let this die. I don't want to do no tiki use. it did help the show. It really got the word started to spread because of that hashtag on Twitter. So for that, I appreciate the show for that, but I'd be fine if we never went back to that show.
It's Halloween. It's coming back.
Not a favorite of mine.
All right. So I guess the next question then, you talked about where you came from and what your favorites were. Do you have, at this point, any particular goals in mind for the show moving forward?
More celebrity interviews. You know, we have our list of people who we do want to talk to. And then, you know, that's our end goal is like, you know, one big, for me, two big ones now is, you know, trying to get Michael Eisner, but, you know, that's like a practically impossible. We've tried, we were knocked down sweetly, of course, but, you know, we tried and, we want to talk to Richard Sherman and, you know, that's huge. And I want to talk to Tom Hanks as well. But, you know, everybody's got their own list. You know, some of us agree on what our top ones are. But, you know, we're open to almost anybody who's, you know, Disney related, has a Disney background. It's just we want the audience to be well-versed in the Disney universe. So if it's, you know, it's one guy who picked up garbage at Epcot for 7 years, sure, come on. Tell us about the garbage. you know? that's my goal.
A less specific goal for me is I want the show to continue to grow. I mean, this is the politician answer. I want the show to continue to grow. I want the three of us to continue to have fun with it. I want the fans to still appreciate it. And I want the three of us to, you know, not forget where we started, I guess. And not forget what it was like on episode 1 and we released it and we didn't know if anybody was going to give it the time of day. You know, for the first probably month, the people that listened were people that I already knew beforehand. So in my head, I was like, okay, these people are listening because they're my friend. They're trying to support me and I appreciate it. But are they really fans of the show? Are they just doing it to support me? Which, you know, I just want the show to keep getting better. And I hope that we always remember that if it gets big, that it wasn't always big, and not to forget the people that were there since day one and supported us since the beginning, just to keep growing and, but not forget where we started at the same time.
For me, it's more of just what Alan said, is for all of us to just enjoy the show, and to continue to get the feedback of our fans, who, you know, enjoy our show and tell other people about it, and to see how far, you know, our show will go. I mean, I think as of now, it has far exceeded all of our expectations when it started, so it's exciting, you know, to see how far, you know, this will go. But as far as to like to say, you know, I want it to be here, it's impossible, because I think that we've, you know, we're all still, you know, extremely, you know, like humbled by our fans and how it is at this point.
Yeah, you know, the strangest thing for me, to be honest with you, is that, you know, because of the internet, you have a global audience. And when we look at the map of like where people listen to us from, that's what amazes me. It's like, okay, granted, it's the United States and there's some small towns, but like Ecuador, Brazil, the Philippines, Australia, Spain, Luxembourg. I mean, it's amazing to think that people around the world have the same interests as you. And then some of them will interact with you on Twitter and you're just like, wow, this is amazing. You're actually interacting with somebody who listens to your show 10,000 miles away, you know? So
yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. It's always fun to see, you know, where that new little blip on the map comes from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next question, and maybe this is a good way to kind of start tying things up, is this is your introduction to the DizDads community. What is it that you would like the DizDads Club community to know about your show, about you guys, that maybe would, you know, help bring us all together?
Yeah, we're just like them. We're just three guys that love talking Disney and being in Disney. It's the feeling that you get. It is a sense of community, especially on the internet. You know, and you can make friends. You can make lifelong friends. It's, you know, a year ago the three of us really didn't know each other, and you know, here we are. We're really close friends. Granted, I haven't really physically met the two of them, but you know, they're good friends. You know, I talk to them every day. So I mean, that's the best thing about it, and that's what I want to do, is just make more friends and talk more Disney, because that's something I have an interest in. You know, sports and everything on those lines, but you know, it's quite different when you get to meet somebody who has the same passion for you besides sports, who enjoys Disney and going to Disney and enjoys eating the same foods as you, you know, hundreds of miles away from where you live, you know. So that's really fascinating, and that's what I want to get is to interact with people a little bit more and learn more, you know, about how they vacation and what's fun for them. And you know, just bring on more shows and see if people have any ideas of who they want to come on, or maybe they have contacts for somebody that they'd love to have come on our show. And that would be great too, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see whether we could help maybe hook you up with some, you know, folks to do those kinds of interviews with.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
We all love Disney. The three of us, you know, the DizDads family, we all love the same thing. So our styles may be a little different. You know, obviously the what we talk about and how we talk about it is going to be different. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be back to Disney and our mutual love for that vacation destination.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's rare to find people around you who share that same, you know, like passion for anything, really. And when you like find a whole group of people that share that, it's really cool to see, you know, how far it goes. And all of us are just fans at the end of the day. I mean, you know, that we're fans, we're just, you know, regular people. And I think, you know, that's what all of us kind of share.
And the other thing is, I want to make sure that people know, is I don't really get to talk about it on the podcast as much, but is that, you know, you might have a 3-month-old, a 6-month-old, a 2-year-old, and you're never too young for Disney. You really aren't. It's, you know, you have to know your child. So if you're comfortable enough to taking your child away on vacation, take them. I mean, it's not going to cost you anything extra, really. They get into the parks for free. You know, it's just, you're going to do your day-to-day life in Disney World not the same as you are at home, but it's going to change a little bit. But at least you're out on vacation. Don't just stay at home. Get out there. Enjoy. Let the reaction on your kid's face is going to be well worth it. I mean, they might not remember, but you're going to remember. You're going to have those pictures. So that's another thing I'd like to be able to do is, you know, just tell more people, get out there and go see it. Have fun. Live life.
Well, that sounds great. All right. So I think for our parting shot, we're going to have you guys weigh in on the age-old debate, because actually this just came up in the DizDads Club threads on Facebook earlier this week. And since it was brought up earlier in our interview today, we'll have you guys weigh in and we'll wrap up with this. So we'll go around real quickly. I'll call on each of you once. And one vote. Dole Whip or Citrus Swirl? All right. Keith, you're up first. Dole Whip or Citrus Swirl?
Because everything that I do, my website, my Twitter, my Facebook, everything is Dole Whip. That's a pretty easy vote for me. So it's Dole Whip any time of the day or night.
All right. So we get one Dole Whip from Keith. How about you, Sean?
You know, the last couple of trips that I've been down there, I'm leaning towards a Citrus Swirl. it's got the best of both worlds. It's so good, and you mix the orange juice, and oh god, you know, now I really want one. It's definitely the citrus swirl. Yeah, that's my vote.
Man. All right, so we've got a Dole Whip, we've got a citrus swirl, Alan.
I lost this one. I know it.
Well, anytime someone presents me with this question, I always have to clarify: are you? Can I get a Dole Whip float, or is it just Dole Whip?
All right, now I'll clarify, but here's the deal: you can get a Dole Whip float, but what it's competing against is a true citrus swirl from Sunshine Tree Terrace, not the pseudo citrus swirl from Aloha Isle.
I've never gotten a citrus swirl from Aloha Isle. I always get it from Sunshine.
Okay, good. So we've got the real debate going then.
I lost.
My ranking has always been the Dole Whip float is the best of the three. The citrus swirl is the second best, and the regular Dole Whip is third. So if you're letting me get a Dole Whip float, I would take the Dole Whip float. But if it's just citrus swirl versus Dole Whip, which I think is a more accurate comparison, citrus swirl blows Dole Whip away.
Well, now, see, me personally, I'm in the citrus swirl camp. However, I believe that the Dole Whip float is going to get a sort of second chance because I'm going to be back in Walt Disney World the end of April. And I'm going to be there during the Flower and Garden / now known as Food and Garden festival. And not only will they be offering a Dole Whip float with spiced rum, which they've done before, but they're also offering a Dole Whip float with coconut rum.
Ooh.
And so I have a feeling that after I try, of course, purely in the interest of science, both the spiced rum Dole Whip float and the coconut rum Dole Whip float, that the Dole Whip float may make a comeback.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to try too when I'm down there at the end of April. That's on my list to definitely try. You know, so coconut, I love coconut rum. So you're going to add that in there. I think it's going to be phenomenal. That's going to be something I'm definitely going to try. And that might take over the citrus swirl. Is a possibility. We'll see. At least it's only there a couple months out of the year.
Come to the dark side, Sean.
All right, guys. Well, you know, thank you so much for taking some time to sit down and introduce yourselves to our community. We're looking forward to your show joining us on DizDad's radio here in the middle of March. Target date still March 15th, so hopefully, cross your fingers, all things will continue to be working the way they're supposed to and have been working so far in the beta, and we'll be able to go live streaming our partner shows starting March 15th. We'll be listening then.
Excellent.
We'll be tuning in.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.